You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning and welcome to Chapel. It is good to be back here after a week of getting some time to rest. I hope that you all used it well, because from here on out, it's a marathon. We get to go to the finish line in just a few weeks. So it's so good that we had a chance to rest and to be back together in community here at Asbury University. It is my privilege this morning to introduce. We're going to let that mic settle just a little bit. It's my privilege to introduce two of my dear colleagues here in a little bit. This morning is faculty and staff chapel, and so you will be hearing from Prof. Rich Maneri and Miss Abby Lobb. And by means of introduction, there are many things that I could say. But about Prof. Rich, he has spent 30-some years in journalism and media. He has won both Emmy and Associated Press Awards for TV news reporting. He's a published author and columnist and has won the Keystone Award for column writing in Pennsylvania, as well as Inland Press Association Award for editorial excellence. This is his second time at Asbury, second time around. 10 years ago, Prof. Rich Maneri started the women's lacrosse program and was awarded Appalachian Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. He returned to Asbury in 2018 and in 2022 was awarded the Francis White Eubank Award for Teaching. It is such a privilege to welcome Rich to speak here in a little bit. And I said to him, what I was going to tell you is that Prof. Rich Maneri keeps good company. He had a great speaker that he invited to our campus just a few weeks ago, and it was a blessing to have him here. Abby Lobb, there are many things that I could say about Abby. Abby has worked at Asbury since May 2021. And before sensing God's call to Christian higher education, Abby was a widely published writer and photographer and was working on her first book. But one of her all-time favorite roles, besides mom, was working as a strength trainer and group fitness instructor, helping others get healthy. I can vouch for that because I have seen Abby out cycling in beautiful weather. I don't know that she'll be doing that this morning, but she is an avid health professional. Her favorite thing about working at Asbury is working with our students in Strat Communication to help them discover and sharpen their God-given talents. Folks, as we come to worship this morning, let us recognize that God puts people in our lives to encourage us, to strengthen us in our journey. We might have fooled ourselves in thinking that we can do this alone, and that's okay, because very soon we will realize that without each other, we cannot be. So look for the people that God has placed in your lives. And this morning you get to hear from two of our best, their journey, their stories, how God has been with them. And the same God that was with them is the same God that is with us. That is with you, that is with me. And he is with us in the good and in the bad. Life is not promised to be only roses and pies, or whatever the saying is. Life comes with a lot of things that are not just beautiful, but hard. And it's out of the hard that beauty comes. So receive this call to worship before our praise team leads us. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, says Jesus Christ, and I will in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you and I bear fruit unless we abide in Jesus Christ. I am the vine and you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear much fruit. So this is our promise, that you and I, abiding in Christ through all of life, will bear fruit. Let us worship this God who promises such a gift to each one of us.
I was really fine with this until I ran into Greg a few minutes ago, and he said, oh, first speaker after spring break. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me that, okay, you've been sleeping till 10. So, okay. Plus, there's a countdown clock right here that I can see. So I don't know if there's a trap door here, Greg, nobody told me about. I want to start with the Bible. It's always a good place to start. Romans 8. I'm going to begin in verse 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Let that rest a minute while I tell you this story. I'll come back to it. When I was a kid, I got into a lot of fights. I don't think I actually started any of them, but I was in them. So at some point, my father thought it would be a good idea to teach me how to fight, to defend myself. So he taught me how to fight. He eventually got me into a gym, and I learned how to box. So in another lifetime, I boxed a bit. Now I know what you're thinking, especially those of you who know me well, so I will say it for you. Yes, it explains a lot. A trainer who trained fighters, some of you of a certain age, and there are some here, might know by name, asked me one time if I would consider boxing for money. I was young at the time, about your age, and I remember saying to him, you mean get hit in the head for a living? Of course, I declined. I thought, don't be ridiculous. Why would anyone want to enter a profession so fraught with obvious pain and disappointment, criticism, not to mention substandard pay, especially at the beginning? So I chose journalism instead. Whether that choice was the result of repeated blows to the head is an issue for another time and perhaps a team of qualified professionals. Nevertheless, that was my choice. At that point in my life, I was you. I had ambitions, goals, dreams, fears. My career goal was to be a TV news reporter in my hometown of Philadelphia. That was it, as far as I was concerned. That, I believed, would be my life. But that isn't where I started. To say that my career in journalism didn't begin quite as I had envisioned is sort of like saying the landing of the Hindenburg didn't go exactly as planned. It's technically true, but wildly misleading. My first job was at a small radio station outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I don't think it's there anymore. At least I hope it isn't. On my first day of training, and I use the term training in the loosest possible sense, I was taken out back of the station. The guy who was training me grabbed long matches and a can of lighter fluid, and he then proceeded to light a pile of trash on fire, and he explained to me that it was the responsibility of the morning guy, that was me, to burn the trash every Friday. I remember staring into the middle of that fire, just kind of gazing into the middle of that fire, thinking, so this is journalism. Did Edward R. Murrow or David Brinkley have to do this at all? Surely someone in here knows who David Brinkley was. I know I'm dating myself. I realized as I was putting this together that all of my references are like pre-1990, so just bear with me. But this was, I rationalized paying my dues, subjugating myself to reach a goal which seemed as far at that point as East was from West. I lasted a few months in that job, and during my time at the radio station, I remember wrestling really for the first time with important questions, questions with which with all of us must reckon sooner or later. What is the ultimate point of all of this? Why am I here? Where am I going? And I didn't just mean in my career. At that time, had you asked me, I would have said I was a Christian. I was. I was raised Catholic by parents who loved me. Certainly, I believed in God. Still, I viewed career success as a source of ultimate satisfaction, so I pressed on. I applied to jobs at TV stations all over the country and was rejected by every single one of them. At that time, you would get rejection letters in the mail, which would read something like, "Thank you for your application. We received interest from a number of qualified candidates. You were not among them." Finally, after several months of searching, I heard back from a news director at a TV station in Monroe, Louisiana, of all places. Anybody know it? I didn't know it either. He said he liked my tape. Remember, this was pre-internet, so we were sending out videotapes. He then asked me a series of questions. "Do you know how to edit? "Yes," I answered. "Can you do weather?" "Yes." "Can you report on crime?" "Yes." The reality was, I didn't know how to do or never had done any of those things, but I was desperate enough and had enough misplaced confidence to believe I would actually and eventually figure it out, and I did. And there was nothing that could be thrown at me, I felt, that I couldn't handle. Any story, no matter how difficult, anchoring, no problem, whatever the question was, I had an answer. But other questions persisted. I did well in Louisiana. I got married there. I met a preacher who introduced me to Jesus in a very personal way. And though I had been raised Catholic, I accepted Christ. Now I understood. Now it all made sense. Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life, so everything will go smoothly from here forward. And sure enough, I landed a better job in South Carolina, more responsibility, higher profile. I went from market 115 to 35 pretty much overnight, because I was working for a raving maniac at the time who liked to get in your face sort of the way a baseball manager gets in an umpire's face and go nose to nose with you to tell you what you were doing wrong. That was his way of constructive criticism. I was a lot younger then, and I'll just say I didn't respond well to that management style. But it didn't matter, because after only a few months it happened. An opportunity opened up at what would become the Fox station in Philadelphia. I was 24, not much older than most of you. It was unheard of at that time that anyone that young would get a shot in that market, but I got it. So I was there, Philadelphia, this was it. Fulfillment, happiness, peace, everything I had dreamed of at 24. In a book that I read called Into Thin Air by John Krakauer, he writes about an expedition to Mount Everest, and he makes the point that he had wanted more than anything in his life to climb Everest. However, about reaching the summit of the world's highest mountain, he writes, "But now that I was finally here, actually standing on the summit of Mount Everest, I just couldn't summon the energy to care. Accept Jesus and life will go swimmingly for you from that point forward." That's what this is, right? A tale of Christian triumphalism, the likes of which are propounded from pulpits across the country every single Sunday. Well, I've read the Bible from front to back and from back to front, and I haven't found that anywhere. In fact, I've read just the opposite. Now, I will say, some of what happened in my life, much of what happened in my life, was my fault. Bad choices, willful disobedience, failure to read my Bible or seek God's will through prayer, sometimes not paying enough attention to something or someone God put in my path. But eventually and thankfully, we do serve a God of second chances. So what happened? After 11 years in Philadelphia, I was bored, just bored. I had done everything I thought I could do, so I started looking for new mountains to climb. I reinvented myself over and over and over again. I became a government spokesman for a few years, speechwriter, a columnist, a coach, consultant, just to name a few. Made good money, very good money. Be surprised what people are willing to pay to avoid writing a speech. My resume is impressive by any objective standard, but I'll tell you what else is on that resume, the part that the public doesn't see. In my adult life, I've moved at least 15 times. More, actually, but after 15, I sort of stopped counting. I have divorce in my history. I have found myself alone, confused, disconnected. This went on for a decade. 10 years in my personal wilderness, unhappy, unfulfilled, restless. For the first time in my life, I felt adrift, blown about like a cork on the ocean. In the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, the teacher writes of a long list of unfulfilling pursuits. He goes through the list: wisdom, pleasure, possessions. This from chapter 6. Everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. What advantage have the wise over fools? What do the poor gain by knowing how to conduct themselves before others? Better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I was a believer. Sometimes God uses our circumstances to get our attention. Have you ever cried out to God? I mean, actually cried out to God? In between my two stints here, I clearly remember being on my knees, just praying, "Make God, make me useful." That was it. I had nothing else. Just total surrender. It was hard for me. It's hard for all of us, I think. And within a week of that prayer, I heard from Dean, now friend, Jim Owens, who asked me if I would be interested in coming back. It sounds a bit trite here, but I couldn't help but think of the verse from Amazing Grace: "'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." I could have never envisioned how my life would change when I came back to Asbury. This isn't the end of my story. In some ways, it's the beginning. But my years of searching are over. God has revealed things to me that I couldn't see 10 years ago when I was here the first time. He's brought people into my life, or more accurately, back into my life, in a way that I can only describe as miraculous. He changed my perspective. I take nothing for granted. Every minute is a gift, every encounter a blessing. As 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, it's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. So remember Romans 8:28, where we started. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice that it reads, in all things. God uses all of it. Our mistakes, our disobedience, our failures to fulfill his purposes. How amazing is this? Consider how amazing this is. What qualifies me to stand here? Nothing today, not a thing. Except the grace of God and his willingness to redeem and restore. To restore our hope, to restore our joy, to restore the years the locusts have eaten. My life is better today than it ever has been. Hear me, I didn't say easier, I said better. Life is hard, it's hard. You will have trouble, but remember, we serve a God who specializes in the impossible. God who is sovereign, a father who doesn't just wait for the prodigal to come home, but a father who runs out to meet him. I'm just going to close here, but I want to tell you that if you are waiting to get cleaned up, before you approach God, consider that we are not guaranteed another minute of life. As Jackson Brown sang back in the 70s, I told you my references are old, "I've been aware of the time going by. They say in the end it's the wink of an eye." When you get to be my age, those lyrics resonate. So if you're waiting, remember, God doesn't love you because you're cleaned up. He cleans you up because he loves you. So I'm going to pretend that you are the 20-year-old me and do what I tell students never to do, and close this story with questions. Do you want to live for ambition or something more? Are you ready to surrender? Finally, a question I heard posed by a preacher just yesterday. Do you have room in your life for God to surprise you? He certainly has surprised me. What do you have to do? Believe him. Trust him. No matter where you've been, he will lead you, not down dead-end streets, but home, right where he wants you, right where you belong. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of gathering today. And we just pray that you can guide us, help us to understand that we can come to you just as we are. And I pray for each person in this room today that if they are wavering, you could help them and know that they have a place to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
When Rachel asked me who I wanted to go first, I was like, you can make Rich go first. He'll do a good job. He did. Hey guys, I'm Abby. I know a few of you, and I have a broken foot. So I was asked to share about my story with you, and I'll be honest, I was a little terrified. I'm used to talking about all of you in Asbury and how awesome you guys are, which is easy because you all are awesome. Talking about myself, not so easy, a little terrifying. So I'll just start with when I was y'all's age. I remember I loved college. I had so much fun in college. In fact, a little too much at first because I was at the beach a lot and I realized I had to, you know, actually study. But during college, my whole family was very uprooted in those 4 years. And it was exciting and terrifying all at once to think about how my future might unfold. And I know that is a very real thing for you guys. College is full of excitement, which is great, but I want to talk to you today about the terrifying parts of all of this, because they're important. So I was thinking about all the times in my life when I was really scared, or greatly challenged, or in fact, terrified, and I think those are the parts that obviously require the most obedience. So if you're not getting scared and uncomfortable and recognizing where God might be growing you, I would challenge you to lean into that. So today is a recent example for me, so yay. you know, it'd be hard for us to think about the times in my life that were easy or boring, that were memorable, that made me go, wow, I'm so glad I did that. In hindsight, you know, once your adrenaline levels kind of chill out, it's clear that trying to run away from that scary thing would have not been the right move for you, and would have kept you from growing, would have kept you from leaning into what God was trying to teach you about him, about yourself, about the world. So recently, coming to Asbury in 2021 was one of those things for me. I would have laughed if you told me I would work here. I've known about Asbury for a long time, but I was a freelancer, I was running my own business, and I was giving up that flexibility in my schedule, freedom to choose projects that I liked when God called me here. And I'm so glad he did. And he's graciously provided that and so much more since coming here. You know, the selfish and ignorant part of me was like, I have to work for the same place every day. That's boring. And I'm just imagining God like, oh my gosh, it's not been boring the last year. So he provided that excitement that I craved. Plus, he knew I needed a shakeup. Things had gotten really terrible in my life, and it all really came to a head in early 2020, coincidentally right when COVID got here. Had nothing to do with COVID, but I was miserable, suffering from huge loss, broken and terrified. And after years of being a Christian, I wasn't really sure about God, about marriage, everything. It was really scary, scary place to be. And then a couple weeks later, God spoke in almost audible words. You know, there's a few times in your life where you're like, okay, wow, he spoke. And he told me I was available now. I will never forget. I was crying in the shower. Does anybody else do that? That's fun. at first, my reaction was total anger. It was like a how dare you, God, moment. And then fear, because I was like, what does that mean? And then kind of a year of numb survival mode ensued, and ultimately he led me here when those horrible losses really began to make a little more sense, and I became less terrified of the implications of that year before. But I just had to be obedient to that available part, and I knew that big changes were afoot. So I hung in there because I've done difficult things before. So I had the fortitude to handle the emotional, physical, and mental roller coaster I was on in that season. And I want to encourage you to do the same, just to lean into those hard moments. God's going to ask you to do a lot of really hard things if he hasn't already. I'm sure he has. And he'll take things from you that you really want in excruciating fashion sometimes, even things that are good and holy, just gone. And sometimes he'll replace them with difficult realities that you don't want to face. He'll put tough people in your path, tough situations. You're not going to like everyone you meet or every job you have or every place you live. I spent the first 5 years in Kentucky, like, trying to leave here, and God was like, nope, nope, nope. So it's just fun. You gotta embrace that. Even your own family will give you trouble. You'll be dealt blows and discouragement. But don't run away from them. Don't blame them on somebody else. I did that for a while. It didn't work out really well. I even blamed God. I'm sure we all have done that. But often in life, for me, exciting and terrifying went hand in hand. See, like, I'm your classic thrill seeker. It worked out really well. moved around, you know, left New York to go to Florida when I was 17 and just paid my way through college, did all the crazy stuff, you know, skydiving, scuba diving, all the things. And just was never afraid of a challenge. It's so funny how God puts those things in your personality, and you're not really sure why. I also was good at running away from things. You know, that wasn't so good. But he builds you in a way that he's going to use later. So the adventurous streak in me, it all began growing up with four siblings in the woods. Like, the whole, you know, God has angels looking out for you is very true. And I've tried not to be a helicopter mom as a result of these escapades. So college was great, and was marked with really just charging head on at things that were terrifying, and that terrified my poor parents. Oh my goodness. So I would encourage you to recognize where he's challenging you right now while you're here in college in order to grow and develop that resilience that you'll need when you leave this place, whether it's a good old-fashioned adventure that will create endurance, sound judgment, critical thinking, taking that difficult class or applying for that tough job or having that really hard conversation. Sometimes he'll challenge you to do less and to rest more and to simply rely on him. Sometimes he'll ask you to do more, and it's going to be terrifying. But I'm thankful for the times that he challenged me. They came in handy because God had some risk-taking opportunities he knew were going to be in my path in the future. And if I hadn't said yes to the challenging things, I'm not confident that my life would have worked out so well. So as a seasoned 26-year-old, I was kind of like Rich. I was bored. I was fed up, you know, working for the man, which is hysterical at 26. I mean, come on. So I thought, I'll try this risk thing. I'm good at that. I'm good at a challenge. I think I'll go out on my own. My husband and I had just bought our first house. Don't recommend that right after you've just signed a 30-year mortgage. You know, I don't need that money. It's fine. But it would ultimately lead to us being able to raise our children how we wanted to and equip me with the skills needed to come work here at Asbury about 12 years later. So for about 11 years, enjoyed the freelance life, self-employed life, scaling up, scaling down, having kids. And then it was the fear, that terror that comes when you're a new mom of missing out, and the terror of, am I going to totally mess up these children? What's going to happen? So I just laugh to think back at all that now. See, God knows exactly what he's doing when he crafts your journey, your personality, and the people that you'll meet. You won't see it right away, but he'll unfold it bit by bit. And I'm just convinced that embracing the really scary parts will make you that much stronger. In some ways, I think he prepared me my whole life for this unique season that we are all in here together. God knew he would need me to grow, and he used all of you to help. See, I was in that season of doubt when the outpouring happened. And it was amazing to see how he used all of you to grow me and challenge me, because I was terrified to let go of that anger, that bitterness I was holding. It's scary to give that stuff up, but it's well worth it, trust me. So students, I would just challenge you today to do what it takes to develop fortitude emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, and that will carry you through all the things that are going to come your way when you leave here. Don't run from them. God will challenge you, and you can say yes or you can say no. You can be available or you cannot be available. Reject the fear and anxiety in the name of Jesus, and do something hard. Do something fun, too. And most of all, put on the armor of God. Excuse me. I don't think it's any coincidence that the Bible calls it the armor of God. It's not like the cozy sweatpants and Birkenstocks of God, although those are good too. You need some armor because you will be going to battle. And at some point in your life, the armor is heavy. You need to be strong enough to wear it, to wear the armor. I love the book of Joshua. It's one of my favorite books. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So rely on God, even when you don't feel his presence or his strength. Rely on the muscles that he has grown in your life by getting uncomfortable. There was this video. It was this, like, state trooper or something. There was this big hay bale on the road, and he literally just, like, lifted up this hay bale and moved it out of the road. He had developed those muscles. He had made those daily habits. So I would just encourage you to make those daily habits to move those obstacles that come your way. Read your Bible. It's a lot easier to scroll Instagram. It's a lot easier to stay up too late watching Netflix and miss the gym in the morning. But it will be bigger challenges that sometimes are excruciatingly painful, where God will give you strength even when you no longer feel him there. I can't think of one easy thing, except maybe lying on the beach with a book. That was worth doing. You'll encounter people who you love deeply, who need you to be the strong one, even when you're falling apart inside and just asking God for the daily bread, giving you your daily bread. He'll ask you to make that tough phone call to stay in your marriage. He'll put you in a high-pressure career, challenging family situations, send you around the world, or stick you in the middle of nowhere. He'll call you to move, to not move, to love, to forgive. He'll make you give away things, to do more, to do less. He'll make you uncomfortable, and he'll probably be terrified. So I lost some life-changing things that day in March 2021, and it was a pivotal moment of God redirecting my path, testing my strength, and me having to answer that call to be available. It was terrifying. I did not want to do it. So I'll just encourage you today to rely on him, to get strong, because there are going to be ample moments to use this endurance that he builds in your life. And he will use you as a result. So let's pray. God, thank you for these students. Thank you for the good and the bad and the ugly that you're putting in their lives right now. I just pray that you would help them recognize the areas where they can grow, and that you would help them understand it's part of your plan for their life. Amen.